According to a recent study at the University of Arizona, the United States is notorious for wasting. $75 billion a year is wasted on food. Food which is just thrown away, not consumed. And in fact, they estimate that between 40 and 50% of all food that is potentially harvested does not get consumed. Unfortunately, we live in a country that knows about wasting. But yet, we have Earth Day, and we're taught conserve to preserve. We're continuously taught this message throughout our lives, the importance of conserving electricity, not to waste energy. After all, this world as we know has finite natural resources. And therefore, unfortunately, we have the issue about wasting food. But certainly when we leave a room, it's easy, just turn off the light. But yet for some reason, our Parsha Tzav, teaches us otherwise. The Torah tells us, with regard to the Mizbeach in the Mishkan, Beis HaMikdash, V'ha'esh al ha-Mizbeach tukad bo, the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. L'sichbe, it shall not be extinguished. Esh tomid tukad al ha-Mizbeach l'sichbe, a permanent fire shall remain aflame on the altar. It shall not be extinguished. And on this, the Ramban says the prohibition of extinguishing a flame is so much so that we have to be proactive to go out of our way. Ki mitzvah shiasimu biyom eitzim harbe, that we have to make sure that during the day we have a tremendous amount of wood that is placed on the Mizbech Kedei in order Shlo Yis'achu L'gamri, so that the fire should not completely be consumed, V'yichba Ha'esh Mimenu, and that the fire will be extinguished from upon the altar. Says the Ramban, V'yarchu Eish V'eitzim Harbe, therefore we must prepare so that we will have a tremendous amount of fire and much firewood. Shetukad ha'esh tamid kol hayom v'chol halayla, so that the fire will continue to burn continuously all day and v'chol halayla, and all night as well. V'hizhir halav shotichba l'ola, that this is warning that the fire should not be extinguished l'ola, forever. We hear this Ramban, and we read these psukim in our parsha, we cannot help but to ask, why? Why is it so important that this fire in the Mizbeach should burn? After all, isn't it bal tashchis? Aren't we wasting good firewood? Wood that could be used for something else, something productive. Instead, we decide to burn this all night for seemingly no purpose whatsoever. In fact, the name of our parsha itself raises many questions. The word tzav is a very harsh tone. Saves Aharon, to command them. And on this, Rashi tells us that there's symbolism and significance as to why we use this word. Says Rashi that Ein Sav El Loshen Zeruz, that this is a language to be especially zealous Miad Uladoros, right now, in the generation of Moshe and Aharon, and the Mishkan, and Lodoros for all future generations. It's a very difficult word in Rashi. that Rashi is telling us that we have to be careful with Doros for future generations. But we are now in the year 2008, living in a generation where there is no such thing as animal sacrifices. There are no karbanos. There is no Beis HaMikdash. Yet, Parsha Tzav, that's all it discusses. It talks about the chatas, the sin offering. It teaches us about the intricate details of the asham, about the guilt offering. It discusses all these details about all these different sacrifices. So why then does Rashi say that this is pertinent and applicable and relevant with Doros for the here and now? Seemingly, it's not. Today is Shushan Purim. And most of us, yesterday when we celebrated Purim, we think of Purim, Mishnechnas Adar Mar Mesimcha, that we're joyous by having a seuda, where there's eating, where there's drinking, and it's enjoyable that you're with your friends and your family. Shalach Manos Yishriyehu. It's a very enjoyable holiday. But very often we go through the entire holiday of Purim without stopping and asking ourselves, why did it all happen? It's true that the Bnei Yisrael were spared from the likes of Haman and Achashverosh, who wished to do us harm, mass genocide, to annihilate us, taf v'noshim b'yom echad. But the question is, why? What did we do to deserve this? What position were we put into? What challenges did we have that we unfortunately had to face this very trying and difficult time in Jewish history? The reality is, this is not my question. This is a question that the students asked their Rebbe. They asked Rav Shimon ben Yochai. The Gemara in Megillah on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis says as follows: She'olu Talmidav es Rav Shimon ben Yochai. They turned to their Rebbe and asked a question, a sincere, legitimate inquiry. Ma nischaivu so nehen she Yisrael shiba oso hador kiloya. Why did the Jewish people of that generation deserve extermination? And obviously, the fact that Haman came about, he could have come about any generation. And he only came in that generation. So why did he come only in that generation, but also Hador? And unbelievably, the Gemara tells us that Rav Shimon ben Yochai did not give an answer. Rather, he turns to his students and says, Imru Atem, why don't you tell me the reason? Unbelievable. The students asked the question. Why did they ask the question? They weren't testing their Rebbe on information they knew. They were asking a question because they did not know the answer. Nonetheless, for some reason, Shimon ben Yochai turns it around and he asks the students, what do you think? And their response, Mipnei shenehenu misudaso shel osa rosh. Because they derive benefit and pleasure from attending the feast of Achashverosh. And then the Gemara continues, and Rav Shimon Yochai says, no, you're wrong. So they looked at him and said, okay, if you don't feel that this is the correct answer, Emor Ata, you tell us, Rebbe, what is the real reason? So Amr Lahem, so on this, Rav Shimon Yochai responds, Mipnei shishtachavu latselem. Because they bowed down and prostrated themselves to an image, to an avodah zara, to idol worship. We hear this Gemara, and we have to ask ourselves the questions. First of all, as we already cited, why would a Rebbe, when asked a question, turn it around? After all, his students wanted to know. And now that they said an answer, why is he giving a different answer? Why couldn't he have given that answer up front immediately when they asked the question. Obviously, Rav Shimon Yochai knew the answer. So why did he first ask his students their opinion before sharing his own thoughts? And the reality is that when we look at the Megillah and we read it, Rabbi Naftali Elsis explains that the reading is not just simply to recall a historical event that occurred thousands of years ago. Rather, the purpose of the hearing of the Megillas Esther every single year is to study it, to study and to apply it in our lives, in the here and now. And therefore, if the Megillah would have only said one reason, maybe we would have turned around and said, it doesn't apply to us. That's something which was applicable to them, but it has no relevance in our lives. And therefore, when the students asked the question, Rav Shimon ben Yochai noticed that their question was, why does an Amalek, why does Haman tempt us? Why did they get tempted, but also Hador, in that generation? And on this, Rav Shimon ben Yochai said, no. It's not that Amalek comes and tempts us and tries to break our spirits and tries to deflate our tires only in the generation of Mordechai and Esther. It's something which happens in every single generation. Behold, Dovador, Omdim Aleinu L'chaloseinu. Amalek's goal, the purpose of what Haman represents, is to continuously break down the Jewish people so that they no longer exist one way or the other. And therefore, Rav Shimon ben Yochai said that since every generation has its own challenges, has an Amalek that looks in a different way, that has a different appearance, and has a different name, what is it for you, my young students? And their response was, deriving benefit, also Russia. Because this is the challenge of the younger generation. That a young man who just finishes grad school and gets a job, and he's sitting in a cubicle, and on either side of him or her are people who do not share in Torah and mitzvos, in their faith and their belief system. But after getting to know them for a long time and speaking with them and looking the same way, we wear the same suits, same ties, we look very similar, we talk the same language, we derive benefit from the meals that we eat together, we're constantly engaged in conversation, says the students. The biggest challenge for us is being Nehenu Mesudaso Shel Osa Russia. The potential of being connected and very easily associating ourselves with others who are not of our belief system, that ultimately we could easily assimilate. Says the students, their mistake in the generation of Mordechai and Esther is not just that they went to a business meeting, but it was shenehenu misudaso. They enjoyed it. They felt a connection. And that is the challenge the students had. And on this, the Rebbe said that it's not the same for me. I'm on a different level. I'm older than you. I don't have that challenge. But the challenge of a Avodah Zarah, of a person that says, I know that you attend synagogue and you're monotheistic, you believe in one God, why don't you try this religion for a little while? After all, we have so many similar beliefs as you. Says Rav Shimon Yochai, the challenge of a Molech attacking us in this generation and my generation is Mipnei Shishtachvot Selem. That was my challenge. That's my challenge in my generation. And therefore, when we read the Megillah, and we realize that there were constantly temptations then, that a Molech had his way to be able to tap into us, realize that it's something which is quite pertinent to this day and age. That it may not necessarily be that we live in a generation where we're coerced, worship an idol, or you'll be killed. Sometimes, in previous generations, a Molech did attack us head on. But sometimes, he shakes our hand and invites us in. And we may feel it is good. It's important for us to mingle with a Molech. And there's no coercion. We'll just go. But ultimately, as we continue along that path and not make any distinctions between ourselves and them, Shenehenu Mesuda, we'll start enjoying it. This is the midah of a Haman, of a Molech in every generation. That a Molech wishes Asher Karcha Baderech. As we saw in Rashi, Karcha is the language of Kar, cold. Because Haman, a Molech in every generation, wishes to cool us off. That we have enthusiasm for our heritage, for the performance of mitzvos. And they turn toward the direction of saying, we're not so different. Come to our meals. Worship our idols. And we get cooled off. Esav, who happened to be the grandfather of a Molech, we know that when it came to Yaakov, as we've said before, he finally encounters him. And the pasuk says, Vishakehu, that he embraced him. And on that word are dots. Says the Medrash, do not read Vishakehu, that he embraced him, rather means he bit him. So he asked a question. It's pretty extreme, the difference between a bite and an embrace. And after all, reading in Parshas Vayishlach, we don't find that Yaakov was bit. He continues in a dialogue, in a conversation with his brother, with Esav. And as we said, that when it comes to an Esav, when it comes to an Amalek, when it comes to a Haman, even though Vishakehu, they're embracing us, their true intention is to bite, is to destroy us. But the many faces that they show us in every generation, is the Megillah so very relevant, so very pertinent in this day and age. To cool us off, that is their intention. To break our spirits by wishing to attack us physically, or possibly to cool us off from our heritage, to cool us off spiritually. This is the message of our parsha. The Chiddush HaRim says, Eish tamid tukad bo lo sichbed, does not mean that the fire on the Mizbeach should not be extinguished. Rather, Eish tamid, there should be continuous fire tukad bo that should remain in him, within yourself, in the person's heart, lo sichbed. That the fire must continue to burn within, that it should not be extinguished, and it should not be cooled off by the Amalek, Asher Karcha Baderech. And therefore we understand, when Rashi says, Tzav is Miyad L'Doros, it doesn't just mean that the fire in the Mizbeach, for we have no Mizbeach, but within ourselves, our hearts, our soul, that is the true Mizbeach. And it means that Lidoros, for all future generations, keep that fire burning. Not only during the day, but also, says the Ramban, the entire night, even the darkest periods of Jewish history, even during the darkest periods of our lives, Lo Sichbe, do not allow that excitement, that enthusiasm for being a Jew to ever be extinguished. Therefore, this Shushan Purim, we should also realize that the battle of Haman, of Amalek, is not over. And every generation, they wish to harm us. Whether it's with a handshake, whether it's with an embrace or with a bite, sometimes it's by shooting Qassam rockets into Sderot. Sometimes it's a person walking in to America's Erav Yeshiva and massacring and killing innocent Yeshiva students with an AK-47. And we could hear this, and we could say, all right, Baruch Hashem, it wasn't my children that died. Baruch Hashem, it was only eight kids that died. That's allowing a Molech Asher Karcha B'derech to cool us off. We should never let them bully us to the point that we feel it's insignificant, the losses of any Jew. And that when it comes to the loss of any Jew, we should not say, Baruch Hashem, it's not my child. We must envision every single Jew that is died, that is captured, as though it's your own child, like it's your own relative. And when a person has that feeling, we can be rest assured, as the Pasuk says, that there will be an Eish Tamid, a continuous flame within ourselves, Lo Sichbe, and it will never, ever be extinguished. Shabbos.